Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 76 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff, sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, we are recording early this week. You are off to Reno in a couple days, and I am off to Long Beach to enjoy some hot G1 action.
Yes, also known as NJPW. Let's not get the listeners confused, thinking you're going to go club hopping or something.
Yes, exactly, with strobe lights and glow sticks.
And poles. And I ain't talking about Ivan Putski.
We'll move on from that.
Yes. Moving
on. Make sure you head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirt and the Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. Scott, I'm going to be sporting those down at the G1, so if anybody sees me down there, come say hi. Give me a two-squeeze-ski.
Yeah. Roll up, say hi. Rub off on the shirt. Get some good luck for your next toy spotting adventure.
Exactly. So, Scott, I was at the Alameda County Fair this past week. And while the editor was eating some food, there was a gentleman wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I was like, I should go give him a two sweet ski. And he walked by and I was like, nah, the moment's passed. But he turned around and went back to one of the food stands. So the editor and I walked by and I was all, dude, nice shirt. And he kind of laughed and his wife actually started laughing. And he kind of held up the two squeeze skis and we two squeeze skied at the Alameda County Fair, which was kind of cool.
Oh, good. So you were able to bring the moment back after it had passed.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
My question is, why was the wife laughing? She's like, these frickin' marks.
That's exactly why she was laughing.
That's hella funny.
So head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Classically Jacked or the Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and Facebook at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WF. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please give us some of that 5-star ski love on iTunes. Leave a review. That helps out immensely. You can email any audio questions, more audio questions, and even more audio questions to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, we got one audio question for the end of the show.
Yes, and it is an excellent question. Before we cut to the next segment, I did have a question for you.
Sure.
Regarding the Fully Posable shirts in the Fully Posable Goes Retro and Fully Posable Classically Jacked, is it still available in the color indigo?
Yes, it is. In fact, I was wearing my indigo color at the Alameda County Fair, and I gotta say, indigo looks great on me.
Good.
Yes.
Good. There you go. So to the listeners that were on the fence about indigo, it looks really good on Jeff and may look good on you too. It also brings good luck. So check out the indigo Fully Posable shirts.
Yes. I love my indigo color shirt, dude. It's great.
Oh, for in layman's terms, it's indigo. But
what?
Around these fully posable parts, it's indigo.
I don't know what you mean. It's not that.
No. Like I said, for layman. It's indigo.
I don't know this gentleman, layman.
We know a Heyman, but we don't know a layman.
Right. FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this past week?
I did. In the brief amount of time I had between recordings, I went to Walmart and just checked out a couple of things there. Still dry. No Macho Man yet, really surprisingly, at Walmart. They did have more of the Hasbro love letters out. They had Warrior, Taker, and Brock. They had the Battle Pack series with Enzo and Cass and the Revival, and they did actually just put out the Elite series with Warlord, Stephanie McMahon, Shane McMahon, that series. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the only ones that they had left were Warlord and Stephanie, so those were an easy pass for me. Really wasn't anybody in that set I was chomping at the bit to get, so those were both easy passes for me, but at least there's signs of life at our Walmart here in Tracy, which is pretty surprising. I badmouth at almost every show. But they're starting to bring it a little bit, so I've got to say I'm impressed. No Macho Man's yet, though. Still on the search for one more.
How come no? You didn't pick up the Warlord?
Because it's not Powers of Pain Warlord, and I'm a face paint mark, I guess.
That is true.
It totally is.
What did you think of the Stephanie?
Oh, I think it's great. I really like the Stephanie, and I actually held the Warlord for a little bit and looked at it. Really impressed with the job that Mattel did on that specific Warlord. Again, we talked about it quite a few podcasts ago. I'm just not a fan of that particular Warlord gimmick, but if it was Powers of Pain, even if they didn't have a matching Barbarian, I would have picked up Warlord in his Powers of Pain outfit. Even though you could probably argue that the singles Warlord maybe was more successful than the Powers of Pain. I don't know. But it was an easy pass, dude. Easy pass. I like the Stephanie. I like the Warlord, but just not pieces I want to add to my collection.
Have you seen Warlord lately?
Just at that wrestler reunion when we went and got the Powers of Pain signatures.
Dude, he's still jacked.
And he looks like Stone Cold.
Yeah, he does, actually. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, from a distance, you see a bald head, a goatee, and somebody that's pretty yoked. And you're like, oh my God, it's Stone Cold. And you get closer, you're like, wait, that's Warlord. Yeah, that dude's still way put together. He's a little bit stiff now. I mean, obviously, he's up there in years. But yeah, that dude can still go. I wouldn't want to take a punch from him.
I saw him at WrestleCon this past year, and oh my God, dude, he is still jacked. He's like in his 50s and still put together. Like,
yeah, that dude could press slam Kamala. He's hella buff.
He's hella buff, dude. We did not do any Toy Spot in this past week. I have to be honest. There isn't really anything that I'm on the hunt for. Maybe if I find the WWE medals. I still haven't found KO or Sammy.
Yeah, if I spot that KO, he's mine.
Yeah, I haven't spotted any of those medals around the newer series, I should say. Actually, I take that back. I did see the Triple H, the $20 one, the bigger version.
Yes.
I did see that. That was an automatic pass for me. But I'm looking for the KO and Sammy. I think you're looking for Sasha, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Does a bear crap in the woods?
Yeah. Heck yeah, I'm looking for Sasha.
Scott, we are recording early, so we don't have much news.
We have a little bit.
We do have some. So what do you say we hit up that news?
Let's talk about that news.
You didn't know?
Scott, in the news this week, Ringside did show the Chris Jericho with the scarf and the list. It's going to be a Ringside exclusive. Should be out later this year, I believe.
Also a pen.
Oh, yeah, and also a pen. Yes.
Yep. Can't have a list without a pen.
You got to write on the list.
Exactly. You also need a scarf.
Yes.
And trunks that say goat.
What's your overall opinion of it?
I really like that Jericho. I'm a big fan. I mean, obviously, I was a huge fan of that particular Y2J character. That's an easy purchase for me. I mean, the list, have to have it. We do that all the time around the house. Peyton will do something and I'll go, Peyton, do you know what happens to little kids that do whatever she just did? And she makes a big deal out of it. No, daddy, please don't put me on the list. So it's totally a joke around the house. We absolutely have to add that figure to the collection. Easy add for me.
Peyton's already learning how to sell.
She is. She's also starting to make lists of her own. She'll write on one side the list, and then on the other side, she'll put like somebody's name. Usually it's Alana's name on there. It's Sissy. So she'll write that on there. Sissy's always on the list. So yeah, that figure, I just love it. A lot of detail on it. I think the face looks great. Somebody brought up the point that the legs look a little long for the body. I tend to agree with that, but I can overlook it based on the scarf, pen, and list, of course, accessories.
I completely agree with you. I thought that the legs were a little bit long, but easy to overlook as with how good that figure looks.
Well, and especially we're mint on card guys too, for the most part.
Right.
So that's just going to hang on the wall. So that's easy to overlook with the long legs. I'm okay with it.
No FTC news to report. Tama Tonga was at FTC headquarters in Florida, but unfortunately he was not there long enough to sign to do what Meanie did, sign and then put a COA on it. They were hoping that Tama would, but he wasn't there long enough. So that's about it for FTC this week. It was pretty cool seeing him hold his figures, though.
Yeah, Chris said that he picked up a couple of them, too. And what a nice surprise. You know, they just came out with the face-painted version that's part of their regular series. And then out of the blue, the variant shows up with no face paint. That's awesome. You know, hey, what's in this box? Oh, it's the variant Tama Tonga. Let's sell that too. That's just awesome. And then he stops by. He's able to pick both of them up. Hopefully one of these days he's able to sign a few for the FTC website. I think that'd be awesome for people to be able to get it with a COA.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I mean, you know, if he's at the NJPW shows this weekend, which I don't know if he is or not, but I'm sure he's also going to be at some upcoming ROH shows. So get your Tama Tonga, get that thing signed. That's an amazing figure, both the variant and the regular one.
One other thing I wanted to bring up is Joey Ryan was selling off his figure at his merch table, and he was autographing.
Yes.
He was autographing the inside of the card with a silver Sharpie.
Yes.
I can't wait till I see him back at APW and he has those at his merch table. I'm going to bring a paint pen for him to sign it.
Yeah, he's actually going to be at the Stockton APW show. APW is actually going to run a show out here in Stockton, and Joey Ryan is slated to be on that card. So I think I'm going to have a Joey Ryan before that event and go to that show and get his autograph.
Is Flair still scheduled to be there?
Flair is, yeah, but that's for Stockton Con.
Right.
Yes, Flair is still slated for Stockton Con so far. I have not seen any cancellation notices from him.
Okay, fingers crossed he doesn't.
Yeah, I hope that he's there so you can get 3/4 your Four Horsemen pack signed.
Yep, just would need Arn Anderson. I'm calling you out, Arn Anderson. I'm like Daniel Tosh.
Yeah, if anybody from Mattel is listening, which we know that you are, could you please let Arn Anderson know that Jeff just needs one more signature on his Four Horsemen pack to complete it? So please let Arn know we need him.
After Flair, I just need Arn. That's it.
Just need the enforcer.
Scott, ECW Old San Francisco Toy Makers Series 4. I think we need to jump into these.
Yeah, we need to make it up to our listeners after the really, really short nostalgia segment last week. I promise this one will be longer.
I think Old San Francisco Toy Makers had to make it up to the fans after Series 3.
Absolutely.
So what do you say we jump into it?
Let's do it. I came to play. There's a price to pay.
Tough for you to get down on your knees. Got ECW Old San Francisco Toy Makers Series 4.
All right, so ECW Series 4, also known as Champion Clashers. Here is Series 4. Axel Rotten, Balls Mahoney, Raven, Jerry Lynn, Rhino, RVD, Taz, and Tajiri. So right off the bat, you recognize some names there that we've mentioned in previous sets with RVD and Taz. But overall, you got a slew of new figures and new names in this series. So they really stepped it up. OSFTM really came to the plate with Series 4, and I actually went out and bought all of these, minus the re-release RVD and Taz.
Oh, you did get all of them.
Oh, yeah. I've got them laying around loose in the garage somewhere.
I love the Rhino. I love the Jerry Lynn. But my favorite in this was definitely Raven.
Yeah, that Raven figure was awesome. I was super excited to get a Raven figure out of this set. It was also cool to get Axel and Balls Mahoney because you could have them fight with the Dudley Boys. You finally had like another tag team that you could throw out there. So I was a real big fan of getting Axel and Balls. But, oh, wait, did I just say?
Yes, you went there.
I need to make sure I say Mahoney after that. Otherwise, it becomes a really, really strange conversation. Yeah, I thought that OSFTM with this ECW Series 4 really stepped it up. They introduced more names. Again, were the figures perfect? No, of course they weren't. It was OSFTM. But like we've mentioned before, they were the little train that could. And hey, they produced some cool ECW figures. And who was going to complain about that?
The Raven was excellent. He had the black jacket on with the black shirt. Very goth looking. I thought it was terrific.
Don't forget his chainsaw.
Oh, and he had to come with a chainsaw because Raven was known for wailing around a chainsaw like Finn Balor, dude.
Yeah, and some dude in WWE.
Rhino came with the red singlet.
Yep.
Jerry Lynn was in these purple tights. I thought they did excellent on the outfits on this series.
Yeah, they nailed them all around. And how cool was it to be able to have Jerry Lynn and RVD? They had so many iconic matches in ECW. I mean, just amazing contests. And now you had figures of them and you could recreate those matches. That was awesome. Kudos to OSFTM for this series, because I think that they knocked Series 4 out of the park. It was great.
RVD and Jerry Lynn was Okada and Omega.
Yeah, for the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Those matches were just so good.
Yeah, they were doing 5 stars way before Okada and Omega. They kind of set that bar for ECW to show how good a match could be without a ton of gimmicks involved in it. And I mean, every match they had was just epic. They were just so good. If you ever have a chance, go back and watch some of their encounters on old ECW pay-per-views on the network. They were just so good.
Scott, that rounds out Series 4. I don't think this is going to be a secret question. It's going to be more of a discussion.
A hot topic, if you will.
Yeah, something that just happened. I actually pre-warned you of your secret question ahead of time. So this is the first time I've ever done that. What do you say we get into your secret question?
I'd love to.
Scott, this past week, a gentleman on the Wrestling Figs forums, this was brought to our attention on Twitter, landed unreleased prototypes of Hasbros. In this unreleased prototype of Hasbros, there was a Macho Man in green tights that was supposed to be a JCPenney exclusive.
Yeah, it was supposed to come with Hogan in the ring.
Right. Also, the figures that he received was Andre, Akeem, Ultimate Warrior, Big Boss Man, and then Hogan and Macho. Now, you can tell the differences in what this guy received and what came out and what we know as Hasbro Series 1, Series 2. What did you think of these?
At a glance, I mean, it looks like he's just got Hasbros on display, but then you look a little bit closer and you start to see some variances in the paint and whatnot. They are definitely prototypes, unreleased. He stated that he got them from a former employee of Hasbro who basically rescued these things from destruction because they were just going to throw them out. They were done with them. They were just prototypes. They weren't the finished product, so they were just going to pitch them. They served their purpose. They were done. And he just kind of took them. Well, what he ended up with, most importantly out of all those figures that you just mentioned, was that Macho Man in the green trunks that was supposed to come with that that Hogan packaged in with the Hasbro ring. Oh my gosh, that Macho Man in green. He didn't wrestle in green very often, but that figure just totally captures him, and it looks amazing. And he's charging an amazing price point to score it.
Yeah, so what he did is he received the figures and then basically is flipping them.
Yes.
He put the Macho up. And originally, I saw a post that it was starting at $19,999.
Yes, which would be more than the most expensive wrestling figure we've ever seen, the Greg Valentine Rhythm and Blues.
Correct.
Hasbro.
When we checked today at work, he knocked it down to $9,999, so $10,000.
Which is now below the Greg Valentine Rhythm and Blues.
Correct. And I'm over here, dude, and I'm just like, why would you want to flip those? Like, that's something you would want to hold on to in your collection.
Yeah. It just depends on the person, though. I mean, if he's having hard times, you know, like Dusty Rhodes talked about, maybe you do need to sell some figures. I just don't know that I would target that specific set of figures that I just scored, especially something as rare and as unique as that, that you actually got from a former Hasbro employee. I mean, dude, that's a holy grail amongst Hasbro collectors. Anybody out there that collects Hasbros knows how rare that is to come across something like that. That would not be my first target to flip.
I would have flipped the Boss Man, the Akeem, and the Andre, but I mean, having that Macho, there's no way I could ever get rid of that. I would basically do what the guy did that received the Greg the Hammer Valentine. I would get it, have it insured, ship down, have it authenticated, and then have it sent back insured.
Yeah, and protect it with laser lights and such that you find in museums after dark, where they have to spray hairspray or smoke to find the laser beams. Like, I would have it in the middle of a room, a dark room, with just like one solo spotlight on it, and it would be enshrined in a plastic case.
I can't understand why he would want to flip those. I just don't understand getting it on one night and then basically the next day posting them to eBay. I don't understand.
I've followed this guy on different platforms, different social media, and he's been known to flip a lot of rare figures. For example, he had one of those, they look like puppets almost. They're larger size dolls. They made a Jake, a Warrior, a Hogan, a Boss Man. They're from Spain.
Oh, those the ugly ones?
Yeah, they look like puppets.
Yeah, they're really ugly. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. I'm with you on that one. But he had like, I don't know, a couple of boss, like three Boss Mans. And I've seen him actually sell them. And then he'll post a picture that he got a new one. And then he'll turn around and sell one of his older ones. And I mean, look, if it's constantly the case of, you know, you're building up more money to score the next big thing, I guess I get that, you know, because I mean, who has that amount of cash laying around to be able to score Holy Grails all the time?
Right.
I don't know that I would have sold the Hasbros that quickly. And again, that just goes to my love of the Hasbros. But when you look at this guy's collection and pieces that he's parted with in the past, I can't say that I'm overly surprised that he's choosing to part with the Hasbros, especially if he can fetch like, what is it, $20,000 for all of them that he's got listed right now on eBay.
Uh-huh.
That's hard to turn down $20,000 right off the bat. And again, we don't know his situation.
Right.
You know, he could be on hard times.
Hard times, baby.
Hard times, baby.
And a computer took his job.
A computer.
A computer. Yes.
Perhaps it was the color indigo.
I don't know who this layman guy is, I swear.
So you wouldn't have sold them?
No, not at all, dude. No. If anything, I would have parted with Akeem and Boss Man. Go figure, the yes. Twin Towers. I would have parted with them, but no way would I have parted with the Macho, the Hogan, the Andre. I just couldn't do it. A lot of people actually question this along with me. Those things aren't authenticated. And I know having it authenticated would have been more. It would have shown me more. But are those prototypes or did somebody just go in and hand paint it? I'm trying to not call this dude a liar, But I mean, like, how do we know that those are actually the ones that were supposed to come out in the Hasbro line?
Well, I'll be fully surprised if he actually does sell them for the amounts that he's asking on eBay without having them authenticated first. I mean, it's one thing to hear a great story and then to see a piece, but without having the proper identification on that specific product, like, yes, this is from this time frame, this is a prototype, it was supposed to be a finished product, you know, something like that. Like, for example, that Greg Valentine from the Rhythm and Blues set, I would need something like that if I was going to drop $10,000 on one Macho Man Randy Savage figure.
I don't know, dude. Like, I don't want to call the dude a liar. I don't know the guy. But, like, how do we know it's not somebody just doing a custom or...
Yeah, you can see Warrior's face paint doesn't look right either.
And also, you can see that Boss Man is wider. I mean, that Boss Man, that first yes. Boss Man that came out was already a big... You know, it was a big boy.
Yeah, it was a big Boss Man.
Right. But, and you could tell the differences between the first Boss Man and what this guy received. But I need something like to show that this was supposed to be it. Like, I need a COA. I need something authenticate. I need something telling me if I'm going to throw down $10,000, I need something showing me that these were actually the ones.
Absolutely. So who knows? Maybe that's a misstep on his part without getting them authenticated first. Like I said, it's one thing to hear a great story and then to be offered a piece like that Macho Man, but I want some identification on that figure. I need it authenticated, a COA, something, you know, anything. Bring me the dude that worked at Hasbro's name badge. I just need something to show that this piece is legit if I'm going to drop $10,000.
Right. So anyways, I don't want to call the guy a liar. I'm not doing that. I just need something showing me that Macho is actually the one that was supposed to be in the JCPenney.
And if it is, I mean, that thing was basically just photographed for the catalog and then literally like never seen again.
Yeah.
So if that is in fact the piece, wow. I would say that's got to be priced higher than the Greg Valentine Rhythm and Blues. Or at least the same, because it was basically photographed for a shoot and then done.
The Greg Valentine sold on eBay for, I want to say it was between 12 and 13,000.
See, yeah, I wanted to say 13 or 14K. So yeah, it's in that neighborhood.
But here's the crazy thing regarding the Greg Valentine. So the guy who received it sent it out insured to have it authenticated and graded. Then he had to pay for the insurance and everything back to him, shipping wise also.
Yes.
So after everything, after insurances, after authentications, it came back to about $15,000.
Oh yeah. If you're going to spend that kind of money on something, another thousand or so to get it insured and authenticated so that you make sure or that you make sure it's legit, that's a drop in the bucket, dude. That's nothing. That's protecting your investment. That's money well spent. But yeah, 15K, I would say the Macho Man should be somewhere in that neighborhood. It's as rare as that Greg Valentine. It's like one of one.
Yeah, exactly. It is one of one. As of today, which is Monday, and as I said, we're recording early. As of Monday, it had 41 watchers and no bids, and he had it set at $9,999.
How much you want to bet the dude that owns the Greg Valentine is eyeballing that thing?
I'm wondering if Zack Ryder knows about it.
Oh, he is making that Zack Ryder money now.
That's true.
He is a former Intercontinental Champion, so he's got that going for him.
I'm wondering if Zack Ryder's one of those watchers that's like, whoa, hold on.
I wonder if Zach knows about it. Maybe somebody needs to blast him out on Twitter and let him know.
Hopefully when the show drops, it's still going.
Yeah, hopefully.
Scott, that rounds out your secret question. We have who did it better. But before we get into who did it better, we have one audio question and we have a surprise email.
Woohoo!
Let's hit that up. Glorious! No, I won't give in. Scott, before we move along in the show, we have another audio question. This comes from a longtime listener, and he actually started listening to us when we plugged our show on the Solo Monster.
Yes, way back when.
Yes, way back. That was over a year ago. I got to do another one of those.
Yeah, we should, for old time's sake.
Yeah, exactly. This question comes from Connor Langan.
Yo, what is up, Fully Posable? Today, my question is about the growth of your podcast and your brand. I just want to know what it feels like, or like, what do you guys think whenever you see people wearing the shirts out in public, and when you have listeners of yours like becoming friends because of your content and your stuff, and having your own kind of community because of your podcast? And I don't know, just a random question, but love to know the answer. See
you, Scott. What you got for Connor?
Well, you know, Connor, despite the fact that he's a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, he's really grown on me. I dig Connor. He's one of our longtime listeners, one of our loyal fans. We really dig Connor, like I said, even though he's a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. To answer his question, for me, it's an honor. You know, growing up watching wrestling and collecting wrestling figures, I was like, oh, dude, if I was ever a wrestler, like, I'd be happy to sign autographs and talk to people all the time. Like, I'd be hella cool, you know, because I watched baseball, too. And I'd see a lot of times where the baseball players are like big time people and have no time for them. And I was like, oh, I'd never be like that. And now to actually have a fan base and people that want to support, it's just, it's amazing to me. And it's something that I never overlook. You know, it's never going to grow old to me. It's never going to be old hat. You know, I'll never take it for granted. It's just, it's so cool to have people that want to support the show. And I hope that they're happy with what we're giving them in terms of the podcast, in terms of the merchandise. Don't you dare hit the mark button on me, by the way. If you're holding that mark button, you better put it down.
I have it in hand, but I'm not hitting it on this.
Yeah, you better not. It's just, it's an honor, dude. Really, it is an honor to have people that are such huge fans of what we do, but we're a small part of something that's way bigger than we are, and that is the Fig Life community. Just being able to interact with everybody, you know, I don't want to mention any names specifically because I don't want to leave anybody out because it's just so many people in this huge community that it's just an amazing thing to be a part of. And, you know, it's funny to read things from people that get on Twitter and they're like, oh man, I didn't realize this Fig Life community was so large. I thought I was a weirdo. And no, absolutely not. There's a ton of us out there that love collecting wrestling figures. The only difference is you and I just choose to have this outlet to talk about them, you know, based on our love of collecting them over so many years. And I'm just happy that everybody's willing to jump on and take this ride with us. And it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I can never say thank you enough to the people that are supporting the show.
Yeah, it's such an honor seeing everyone out there with like our shirts on. It's every time I see someone at a signing with our shirt on, it's great. Like Brandon with the Shockmaster yesterday.
Yes.
I was like, that's awesome. He wears our shirt to each signing and whatever con he's going to. I mean, that's just like an honor. And every time I see it, I just smile because I never thought after episode one, as bad as episode one was, I never thought that it would be as big as it is. It's not really our community. It's a community. He mentioned the Fig Life community. That was just me talking on a podcast and said, you know, it's a Fig Life. It was actually Mike the Cleaner that took what I said and started using the hashtag Fig Life and made everyone, I shouldn't say made, but he told everyone, put this in your bio, hashtag Fig Life. And that's how it actually spawned like it is.
Yeah, now it's a thing.
Yeah, now it's a thing. It's so great to see it. And it, you know, Mike's not bigger than us. We're not bigger than Mike. We're not bigger than Brandon. Brandon's not bigger than us. We're all kind of equal. Yeah, you and I talk about figures and we put out a podcast each week, but you know, we're not bigger than one person. It's a community.
Oh, absolutely.
We just happen to put out t-shirts and we're so happy that everybody is stoked about each t-shirt we put out. By the way, we've got our next design and
our next two,
and that's going to be heading over to the designer here pretty soon.
Yeah, and keep in mind, anytime that we come up with a shirt idea, if we don't get excited about it, we're not going to release it. But I can 100% tell you that the first two shirts that we came out with, and then the next two shirts that we're going to come out with, each time we came up with the idea, we got super, super excited about it. And it's going to be true to the Fig Life community and things that you guys love and things that we love. So it's not going to be one of those things where we're just going to release, you know, some generic knockoff shirt like Fig Life 316 or something like that. There's going to be more thought behind it than something as easy as stealing a catchphrase. You know, it's going to have some design, thanks to our great designer out there, and some thought, and something that we're going to get excited about, something that we would want to purchase if we saw it on a website. So we're going to continue to bring you guys great merch. Spoiler, it's not just going to be t-shirts. And we're going to keep putting out more episodes of the podcast. We're on episode 76 now. You know, I'd love to see it keep going forever. You know, it's a lot of fun. And like I said, we're such a small part of this big Fig Life community. And I love seeing stories on Twitter of people within the Fig Life community helping each other out. Like, hey, I can't find this figure. Does anybody have a hookup for it?
Mm-hmm.
And within like 20, 25 minutes, somebody's immediately getting back to them like, hey, dude, I saw it here. I'll go pick it up for you. And that figure's getting shipped. You know, it's crazy. Everybody taking care of each other. And it's fun to be a part of. It really is.
The other great thing is seeing people that used to collect and then they find us and they're like, oh, listening to your show and seeing what goes on, all the action going on Twitter and Instagram, it makes me want to collect now. And then they start going out and looking at the figure aisles at Walmart or looking at Target, which they never find anything at Target. But
yeah. Except for Tito.
Yeah, except for Target Tito. But, I mean, it's great hearing all these people that are just like, I want to start collecting again. You guys have got me excited to start collecting figures again. And that's great, man. I mean, I didn't expect all this, you know? Trust me, dude, episode one, I go back and I listen to it, and it's so cringeworthy. It really is, dude. But everybody's like, don't badmouth.
Yeah, it was literally dipping our toes into the water and just kind of testing it out and seeing what it was like.
Maybe we are our own worst critics.
Oh, always, yes.
I just go back and listen to episode one. There's no music. We had old equipment. I just, it's rough to listen to. And then usually about episode five or six, we kind of kicked it into another gear. And then around episode 14, 15, we kicked it into another gear, and then it just kept going up and up as we got more comfortable.
Yeah, and like Connor mentioned, he specifically said about the Fully Posable brand, you know, as we get more support from the listeners, i.e., you know, purchasing shirts, giving us feedback, downloading more of the shows, as we continue to get that support, the Fully Posable brand will continue to grow and continue to give you guys what you want, more podcasts, more guests, more YouTube videos. So it's just, it's a ball that's rolling and it's getting bigger. And I can't wait to see where it's going to be in the next year. You know, this time next year, where are we going to be? I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
We marked out for ourselves.
Mark. Yeah, we deserve that.
We marked out for ourselves, dude.
A little bit, but it's not about us. It's about the Fig Life community, and it's great to be a part of it.
That's what I meant, dude. It's just like nobody's bigger than each other. We're always looking out for each other out here. Like, I can't even count how many times somebody said, hey, I have this figure over in my area. Do you want me to grab it for you? And I'm like, hold on. Let me try to find it here. And if I can't find it, I'll hit them up. Hey, what do I owe you? What does it cost to ship? And usually, it's pretty cool. Usually, like, most people are like, don't worry, man. Don't worry about it. I'm like, well, let me get you back somehow or some way.
Yep.
I hope we answered your question, Connor. Scott, you'll never guess who just sent in another email.
Was it Zack Ryder again?
It wasn't Ryder. Well, unless Zack Ryder's name is Seth Phelps in real life.
Spoiler, it was Seth Phelps.
It was Seth Phelps.
I didn't get a second guess.
Seth actually sent in another email because he told me a story that happened to him on Friday. And yesterday, Sunday, I asked him, I said, hey, dude, would you be able to put that to a keyboard and send that on over? And he goes, absolutely. So he sent in another email for another Toy Spotty story, which I thought was great.
We need one of these narrated one time. We need him to just leave us a listener question, but it'll be a Seth Phelps story.
Oh, dude, that's great.
Yes, it needs to be a story, and we'll just play it, and the listeners can just get a kick out of it. I love him, dude. Every time he sends something in, it just cracks me up.
And Seth, if you know Morgan Freeman, if you can have him narrate it.
Well, we don't want to put our listeners to sleep.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Good call. This one was titled Toy Spotting Heel Turn. It's great already.
It's very aptly named, too.
Hey, guys, it's Seth back with another Toy Spotting Adventure from Paradise. I'll preface my story by reminding you guys that the supply of new action figures in Hawaii is extremely limited, so sometimes we are forced to take a walk on the dark side to land figures we want. He just went Darth Vader on us, dude.
Yep, dark side, baby.
This past Friday, Sheena, aka Chick Foley, was out running some errands and happened to be in the area of our local Toys R Us. Of course, she stopped to do some toy spotting. The only thing of interest on the shelf was an Elite 50 John Cena. She grabbed the Cena figure and headed to the customer service desk to see if they had any other cases of Elite 50 in the back. They did not. But Sheena's eagle eye spotted something very interesting. Behind the customer service desk, there were two Macho Man Defining Moment figures. She asked about them and was told they were on hold for another customer. We didn't even know this was possible. I had checked that Toys R Us the previous evening, and there was no sign of the new Macho Man. This led us to believe that this was an inside job or some sort of employee hookup. They told her that if they weren't picked up by closing time, then we could come get them. And that was that. Sheena called me at work and gave me the bad news. I shrugged it off as just a small frustration of living in Hawaii. I got off work an hour later and was hit with a stroke of what can only be described as evil genius while I was walking to my car. I called Sheena and said, "Tell me exactly what went down at Toys R Us." She said, "I asked about the Macho Man figures," and the lady at the desk called to the back and asked if they were on hold for someone. Someone from the back answered yes, that it was. "So they never mentioned any name on hold?" Sheena replied, "No." I couldn't keep a devious grin from forming on my face as everything clicked into place. I would go to Toys R Us and claim the figures for myself. I made the quick drive over to TRU. After I parked, I was hit with a wave of nervousness. Or was that my conscience trying to tell me not to make this final plunge into the darkness? I can only imagine this is what Shawn Michaels felt like right before he threw Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
Yes.
I called Sheena and had her recap everything one more time. I asked her to describe the lady and that was at the desk and told myself that if the same lady was there, I would abort the mission. After working up the nerve, I strolled into Toys R Us like I owned the place. I saw a younger guy at the customer service desk. The mission was go. I approached the desk and in my most friendly, confident voice, I said, "Hi, my friend called earlier and reserved a couple Macho Man figures for me. I'm here to pick them up." The guy looks for a second and says, "Yep, they're here." My pulse quickened as he placed the figures on the counter in front of me. I already had my debit card out in hand when I walked in. I didn't want to waste any time fumbling with my wallet while trying to pull this off. Right before he was going to ring me up, another lady walked up behind the counter. She sees what I'm buying and says, "Are you John?" Without hesitation, I lied and said, "My friend is John. He reserved these for me." She looked at me for a second and I thought the whole plan was about to come crashing down. But she smiled and said, "Oh yeah, Macho Man, success."
He's all, "Mark."
The next 90 seconds were some of the most stressful of my life. I wish I would have just brought cash so I could slam it on the counter and just run out of the store. The clerk starts going through the checkout process. "Do you want the warranty?" "No." "Do you want to donate $1 to charity?" "No." "Do you want to join our rewards program?" "No." It seemed like things were moving in slow motion. Keep in mind the customer service desk at our TRU is right by the door. I felt like Tony in the final scene of Sopranos. Every time the automatic door slid open, I was expecting a 250-pound musclehead and Macho Man shirt to appear and attack me. I finally finished checking out and didn't even wait for the guy to bag up the figures. I grabbed them off the counter, sped walked out the store, and sprinted to my car. I had pulled off the heist of the century. I FaceTimed Sheena and told her I now know what Seth Rollins felt like at the end of WrestleMania 31. She could not believe I had did it. I still can't really believe I did it myself. It was definitely my defining moment as an action figure collector. I know this was kind of a gray area as far as being a babyface or heel in the toy spotting world goes, but I did this with clear conscience. Scalpers are a huge problem in Hawaii, and I am almost positive that these were heading to a scalper if I didn't act as fast. At the end of the day, if anybody has got a problem with that, I only have two words for them. Happy toy hunting. Thanks again. Thanks again for sharing my adventures. You guys are by far our favorite podcast, and we look forward to every Sunday. Hashtag Fig Life, Seth Phelps. Seth had a follow-up. He said one more thing. I forgot to mention at the end of my story, but to get back in the figure god's favor and also turn some more people onto your podcast, we gave away the second Macho Man on Sheena's Instagram. Hashtag Fig Life. So they did do the giveaway on Instagram under Chick Foley on Instagram. We would like to congratulate the winner at Zach_900Z.
Nice. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Seth told me this story on Friday night, and I was like, dude, I don't want to be around you when the figure karma gods come crashing down on you. But the second he said that they were for scalpers, I kind of felt a little bit better. I was like, okay, you guys are good.
Yeah, I'll tell you, scalpers, back when I was living in the East Bay, like in the 90s, late 80s as well, scalpers became a huge problem. We used to collect the starting lineups and McFarlane's, and they became a huge problem because, as Seth has experienced, these guys come in, they get buddy-buddy with the help at the store, and suddenly cases aren't even hitting the floor. They're just being put aside in the back. Somebody comes in, says some magic word like, I know Ken that works here or something, and then he scores a full case of starting lineups or McFarlane's or, in this case, two Macho Man figures. I hate those guys. I really do, especially when they're in limited supply on the island. That's got to suck, man, because then you have no choice but to pay almost double what you pay in the store. It's completely unfair, and if I were Seth, I would be so tempted to open up a store and get a reseller's license and just get in the figures, and then whatever I didn't want, I would just sell.
Right.
You know, I feel bad for the guy, and I don't fault him one bit for doing what he did. To be able to stick it to him a little bit, whoever that scalper was that was coming in to pick those up and then turn around and sell them for $50, I'm glad he stuck it to him.
That's what he was telling me. He goes, scalpers are bad on the island. He goes, they have hookups over at Toys R Us, Target, Walmart. They have the hookups. And he says, Sheena and I will go to like a collection gathering.
Right.
And these scalpers are selling Macho figures or selling figures for, you know, $10, $15 more. And yep. He said that Sheena and him are just kind of like, wait a second, we haven't even seen these on the island. Where the hell did they get these?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could have gotten them from ringside, but I mean, seriously doubt it.
No, they have a hookup at the store. That's how it always goes down. And that sucks. So I don't call Seth a heel at all for what he did. I think that he was absolutely justified in doing it. Good for him. But Seth, just to be on the safe side, you might want to grab yourself a fully posable shirt just to kind of erase some of that bad karma.
Oh, they've already got one.
Perfect. There you go. Wear it every day.
Exactly. And the part of the giveaway was they had to follow us on Instagram, follow Fully Posable on Instagram, and the person had to take a screenshot of them subscribing to our podcast on iTunes.
Nice.
So there was two steps to doing that. And it was funny, Saturday night, like, we're just getting flooded with people following us.
I was like, that's this awesome.
This is awesome. You know, we always talk about we have the best fans, and, you know, Seth and Sheena, when we met them at WrestleMania, are just awesome fans and listeners. I can't wait to see them in New Orleans next year.
Oh, it's going to be a blast, dude. And as we get closer to New Orleans, we're going to have to pick a spot, because I think we're going to have a pretty decent turnout.
Yeah. We'll have to schedule some time.
Yeah, no doubt. Even if you're not going to WrestleMania, just make a trip to New Orleans. Come hang out.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Even if you don't get tickets, just fly out there, because it's going to be worth it.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Yep. You might see Alberto Del Rio some places.
Yeah. Minus Paige, apparently.
Rumor is.
Yeah. Apparently he didn't have a great video camera. But I really want to say thank you to Seth. Thank you to Seth and Chick Foley. I think that's awesome what you guys did. Thank you. I can't say it enough. You know, like you said, Jeff, we have the best listeners, the coolest podcast following. It's our listeners never cease to amaze me. The stuff that they do and the stories that they send, the questions that they bring in. I just love it. It's such a great community to be a part of. It really is.
Yep, sure is. So again, thank you. Thank you, Seth and Sheena. Scott, we are going to do Who Did It Better this week.
Who?
And guess who we decided to do this week?
You can spoil it.
We chose Raven. Now, unless I am missing something, Raven is the only wrestler to have WCW, ECW, WWE, and TNA figures.
Yes.
We could not think of anyone else who's had all four major companies. Not Sandman, not Dreamer,
not Flair, not Hogan, not Bam Bam.
Not Bam Bam, not Shane Douglas.
Nope.
Although Shane Douglas would be the first one to have FTC, ECW. No, Shane never had WWE.
No, they never made a WWE Shane figure. So if FTC manages to pick up Raven, I think Raven wins at wrestling figures.
Yeah, that's right, huh?
He would be pretty much covered by everybody.
That's true, that's true.
I mean, minus like Remco and Galoob, but really Galoob would have been the only one that had a chance to make a Raven figure.
So let's go down the list of Raven figures. His very first figure was an old San Francisco Toy Makers, the non-vibrating plastic figure.
In the WCW line.
In the WCW line, thank you.
Yes.
Then he went to Toy Biz.
They also did a single of him. I believe the set was called Bruisers. He was wearing a shirt that looked like Daredevil.
Raven was also packaged with DDP and the Grip and Flips. I remember being on the hunt for that one with special guest Sean. He was on the hunt for that one a lot. And then finally when he found it, he picked it up. And then we continued to see it over and over again.
He picked it up even though it was a Grip and Flip and there were big magnets on Raven's hand.
Well, Sean was the biggest Raven and DDP mark.
Hey, if it was Ricky Steamboat, I would have bought it.
Then Raven went to ECW where he had another old San Francisco toy makers, and we just talked about it in Series 4.
Yep, in the ECW line.
Then he had a few Jax WWE figures. He had the one where he had the Punisher shirt on.
Yeah, I want to say that was Rulers of the Ring. I might be wrong on that.
That was a cool Raven figure. I liked the way his hair was. It was kind of out a little bit.
Yes, that was a cool Raven figure.
He had the jacket, he had the flannel on, jean shorts, Raven look. But I thought
all molded, of course.
Correct. And I thought they did a good job on that one.
Yes.
Then after WWE, he had a TNA one.
Yep.
Where he was in a black kilt.
That was in the TNA Toy Biz line, correct?
A TNA Toy Biz line. Then
yes,
he was in the TNA NWA Legends line that Jax did.
Yes.
And that right there is my favorite Raven figure.
I agree with you 100%. The job that they did on that with the cloth accessories knocked it out of the park. Just completely captured Raven. It is a perfect Raven figure.
That's actually Sean's special guest, Sean's favorite figure too. And yes. it's autographed also.
Is that the one you got signed at Wrestle Union for him?
Yep, sure was.
It was. Okay. Yeah, Raven even took a little bit and looked at that figure. Like, yeah. Man, they did a good job on this thing.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, do you want a photo? And I was like, no, I just need to get this for my friend. He's like, oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
It was kind of like an awkward goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, all right, I'll miss you, Raven.
It was like the hug at Step Brothers at the end of the movie.
Yeah, he had his hand on your face pushing you away.
Don't want a photo, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's hands down my favorite Raven figure. What is your least favorite Raven figure? I think I know where you're going to go with this.
Did you guess Grip and Flip?
No, actually, I was going to guess old San Francisco Toy Makers WCW.
No, I'm going Grip and Flip. That is not a good Raven figure. But none of the Grip and Flips were good figures, really.
It was bad, but like for other Toy Biz figures, it wasn't that bad.
See, I can't knock the OSFTM, the non-vibrating plastic ones, because I think they were basically told by WCW, look, make something cheap and plastic that we can sell for like $5 at KB Toys.
Make bigger Hasbros.
Make bigger Hasbros and make them kind of crappy. And look, 100% good job. They did it. They yeah. nailed it. So I never include them in like my least favorite figures just because it's such an easy figure to pick on. But Toy Biz was huge. They had so many different licenses, and for them to strike out on a Raven figure like that, look, the one that they did in the Bruisers line in the Toy Biz WCW, I thought was great. He had like that, it looked like Daredevil on the front, which he would wear like Marvel knockoff shirts or whatever.
Yep.
I thought they did a really good job on that one, and then turn around and come out with that Grip and Flip that just, it was kind of atrocious. I mean, aside from the big magnets on the fist, I mean, the figure wasn't good at all.
I still remember going to KB Toys over and over at Stone Ridge or going to Toys R Us just trying on the hunt for that for Sean.
Dude, you wasted gas on Grip and Flips.
We did. That's a fact.
Wow. The love of wrestling figures.
Actually, I should say Sean did. There was no way I was driving out for Toy Biz figures. So that's our talk on Raven. Figures Toy Company, you might want to jump on the Raven figure.
Yeah, man, keep that string going. Then he just really needs like Mattel.
I could see the blonde hair or the blonde dreads, I should say.
Yes.
I could see that happening for
Figures. Dude, they could do a Scotty Flamingo.
Not many people remember Scotty Flamingo, dude.
Okay, Johnny Polo.
Or him.
Ah, they couldn't do him anyway. WWE has him. And I'm sure they just have that Johnny Polo figure waiting to come out. Watch it be the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Actually, speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, Mattel put out the reveals and WWE wasn't part of it.
I'm a little concerned.
I wanted that goon figure.
Yes, yes. Or the gobbledygooker with the breakaway egg.
What about Mantar?
Why not Man Mountain Rock?
Ah, oh, you took my next one.
Or the Duke the Dumpster Drossy. Bastion Booger.
Or Oz.
So will you stop?
Vinny Vegas, dude. Vinny
See,
Vegas.
Now you're just being ridiculous.
Gobbledygooker.
Yes, that's who I want. Breakaway egg.
Or Red Rooster. I hated WWE at that time when I was a kid because I loved Terry Taylor when I was a kid.
Yes, me too.
And then he finally comes into WWE and they make him the Red Rooster. I hated WWE. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've read stories that Terry Taylor actually turned down the Mr. Perfect gimmick in favor of the Red Rooster gimmick.
He was up for the Mr. Perfect gimmick. They ended up going with they ended up going with Kurt Hennig, and I think they had to give something to Terry Taylor, and they reached into Vince's magical box of gimmicks and gave him the Red Rooster.
In the history of all consolation prizes, uh-huh. I would call the Red Rooster gimmick the worst consolation prize ever. The worst.
I have to agree. I can't think of another one.
Maybe the big gold belt that they handed Triple H just because they needed a second heavyweight champion.
Remember, they were supposed to give the Intercontinental title to Butch Reed and he no-showed?
See, that's a rumor. I don't know if that's actually true.
I don't know. That's the story I've heard numerous times.
Yes, I've heard that too. But I just don't know if it's true.
And Hogan and Vince were like, well, why don't we give it to that guy? And the honky-tonk man was just walking down.
He's just like feeding his face at catering. He's like, who, me?
And actually, this isn't a well-known fact, but Honky actually started out as a face in WWE.
Yes, he did. And then the fans basically voted him heel.
Yep, exactly.
Audience participation.
Yep. So, Scott, that rounds out episode 76. Do you want to rant on anything on WWE?
Let's see. Well, it's Monday, and LeVar Ball was on Monday Night Raw tonight because apparently there's no such thing as bad press.
Yes.
So let's just give that dude a bigger spotlight in LA. And if you happen to see the segment...
It was bad.
Oh, my gosh.
It was bad.
In the history of train wrecks, it's not the worst, but it's up there. They did everything but a This Is Your Life LeVar Ball, and that would have been the only thing worse.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, dude. It was cringeworthy, but it's wrestling.
Hey, I gotta say, for the Last Dragon fans that are out there, you know what I'm talking about with that 85 movie. I thought LeVar Ball did a pretty mean Shogun on there.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Or a pretty good show enough.
Yeah, that was Last Dragon, wasn't it?
Yes, he did some Last Dragon in the ring, and I appreciate that. I respect that. Show enough.
You know what? I want to say something good for WWE.
What's that? They gave LeVar Ball the glow?
No, by the way, I'm watching Glow on Netflix.
Good for you.
Oh, dude, that is fantastic.
Yeah, we're two episodes in, and I was on Twitter the other night, and Mick Foley's son, Dewey, decided that he was going to spoil something with a particular former WWE performer that's in the show that I did not know about. And so I had to tweet him back and say, spoilers, dude, and then hashtag Kane Dewey. I don't like spoilers like that. It pissed me off.
Yeah, I'm hooked on Glow.
It was really good. We're really enjoying it.
Yeah, me too. Something good about WWE. I like how they're doing the Miztourage. I like that.
Yes, Miz has homies now, and I dig that. I really dig that. I like stables.
Yes, and I like Bo Dallas's new character change. I like it.
Me too. Me too. And it's good to see Curtis Axel showcased a little bit. Why not put Mr. Perfect's son on television? Duh.
Exactly.
You Mark.
Mark.
So head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt and the Fully Posable Classically Jacked. And hopefully soon, we can get this new design going. I'm going to pass that along to Damon over at Descendant Designs and have him start work on it. I can't wait for it.
It goes a little bit against the figure grain, but when you see it, you'll love it.
Yep, exactly. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and now the Book of Faces. At Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please show us some love on iTunes. That pushes us up the algorithm chart. It's funny, dude. I always mention how important it is that people leave us 5 stars.
Yes.
I cannot say enough how important it is, because I was thinking about it. That's actually how I found the Solo Monsters podcast.
Because of all the 5 stars?
All the 5 stars. I was laying in bed one day and...
What were you wearing?
I was wearing my jammies, the ones that Auntie got me.
Perfect. With the little flap in the backside so you could take your poopies? I love those.
The editor comes up, I'm going to wipe your bottom. And yeah. So
wet wipes, right?
Oh, dude, no, that causes chafing. But anyways.
Oh.
So anyways, I was laying in bed and I go, you know what? I need another wrestling podcast. At the time, I didn't have enough. So I type in wrestling. And the first thing that came up was Solo Monster. And I said, wow, that's a horrible name for a podcast. Mm-hmm. But I downloaded it and I was hooked ever since. And that was back in 2012. And now I've 5 years later, I've listened to him every single show all the way through. Well, not all the way through, but majority of the way through.
And he's plugged us.
He's plugged us. But that's because of all the people that have given him 5 stars, all the people that have gone in and rated his show and reviewed his show. It just helps us out so much and getting us bumped up the charts. And that's actually how Brian Breaker found us too.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you guys could help us out with the 5 stars, we'd appreciate it.
Yep. You can email us any audio questions, more audio questions, or toy spotting emails like Seth Phelps, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. And again, thank you, Connor, for the audio question tonight. Scott, you were off to Reno. Are you going to do any toy spotting up there?
I hope to, yes. I'd like to on the way, maybe stop in Sacramento, maybe Roseville passing through. If I can spot a Toys R Us off the freeway, we'll stop with the kids, check out, see what they've got, hopefully come back with some goodies.
Nice, man. Well, safe travels up there.
Thank you.
Are you going to wear your Fully Posable shirts?
Dude, of course. I'm packing my Fully Posable Goes Retro. I'm packing my original old school OG with the logo on the back. And the original one that got a hole in the armpit, I cut the sleeves off, so I'm going to wear that to the water park on Wednesday. So yeah, I'm rocking Fully Posable the whole trip.
Muscle tee, dude, muscle tee.
Well, you know, cut off tee in my case.
Oh, Scott.
And safe travels to you to NJPW. Have fun.
Thank you. Follow our Twitter. I'm going to be taking lots of pictures, tweeting out pictures with fans. If anybody sees me, I'm going to be basically in Fully Posable t-shirt. Probably the only dude. Hopefully not, but hopefully somebody will be wearing a Fully Posable t-shirt there.
Yeah, maybe, perhaps. Maybe Marty DeRosa would be wearing one.
Absolutely, dude. You never know. But if you see me over at the G1 in Long Beach, come up, say hello. We'll get a selfie. I won't have a selfie stick, but we'll take one.
So, you're not taking your Tyler Breeze selfie stick with you?
No, dude. It didn't come out for the Samsung.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So Scott Ford, episode 76, anything else?
Yes. Before we go into the happy toy hunting, I just want to say again, please continue to follow at Pollyanna DIY. He's got some really cool stuff coming out. He's going to be putting pictures up soon of some really, really cool stuff. So please continue to follow him. His train is still moving forward. So continue to support Pollyanna DIY and happy toy hunting.
#FigLife. Adios.